In the 12th century, Reform took a number of distinctive turns. For example, we could speak of the Cistercian monks. Now, Cistercian from their monastery of Citeaux in eastern France. Now, this was a very strict monastic reform that felt that, for example, Cluny and a number of the reforms before this had been too worldly, had been too mixed up in the world, had been too willing to engage the world, and what they should do is follow a very strict Benedictine usage. In other words, go back to the rule of St. Benedict in its purest possible form and try as much as possible to avoid entanglement with the world. Now, ironically, one of the great figures of Cistercian history was St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who died in 1153. Even as the Cistercians were saying that what they really had to do was follow strict Benedictine customs and avoid entanglement with the world, St. Bernard becomes kind of the uncrowned king or the uncrowned pope of Europe in the 12th century. He becomes one of the most dominant figures in his age. We'll encounter him in a later lecture as a significant intellectual figure of the 12th century. But for the Cistercians, my point quite simply is, the ideal was to return to the primitive Benedictine ideal, or at least as they understood it. Now, there were communities of eremitic monks. Remember, hermits, haremos, desert. These were especially prominent in Italy, but we also find some in rural France and even in rural England. These were people who really did physically try to separate themselves from the world and its entanglements. There were regular canons. Canons are clergy who serve in a cathedral church. Canons who began to follow rules, a regula, hence regular canons. They sought to try to reform the lives of the clergy living in cathedral churches and to make them a bit more like that of monks, even though they weren't cloistered. They worked out in the world. There were in the 12th and 13th centuries, and in the world of the Crusades, a particularly and peculiarly medieval phenomenon, armed knights, who were somehow monks, who took oaths, who took followed a rule rather like other monks did. The Knights Templars and the Knights Hospitallers were the most prominent of these, but there were a number of other orders as well. There were finally, remember we talked about a mission, an apostolate to the poor in cities. There were the begging orders, the mendicants. Now, the most prominent of these were the Franciscans, the followers of St. Francis of Assisi, and they were the ones who particularly worked with the poor in cities, with the sick, with the old, with the forgotten, with the downtrodden. But also another begging order, St. Dominic, the Dominicans. Now, they worked among heretics. They worked among those who had fallen away from the teachings of the church. But the idea of the begging orders is people who would live without wealth, without marks of status, without marks of prestige, who, in abandoning all of these things and leading blameless lives, would themselves be able to reach society in a way that powerful, rich, worldly, hierarchical members of the clergy could not. The clergy had its own idea of what a perfect layman was. The clergy's idea was the miles Christi, the soldier of Christ. This was another species of chivalry. But here we have a kind of soldier who will fight God's enemies, and only God's enemies, who will fight only in a good cause. In the turbulent 10th century, the church, the clergy in particular, tried very hard to promote the idea of the peace of God and the truce of God. That, for example, there should be no war on non-combatants, that there should not be war near a church, that there should not be war on Sunday, that there should not be war in the Christmas season, there should not be war in the Easter season. Many of these kinds of things, of course, have been written into conventions of warfare in more modern times. In a society of violence, the clergy was trying to legitimate some kinds of violence and delegitimate other kinds of violence. We may wonder if this is one important contributory factor to the violence of the Crusades, a particularly legitimated kind of violence characteristic of the Middle Ages. Finally, the members of the clergy played a lot of other roles too. They, after all, led the worship of the church. Thus, they brought ordinary people face to face with their religion and with their God. People encountered the clergy again and again and again in all sorts of ways. As we saw in the last lecture, the clergy began to speak on great social issues such as poverty and wealth and the just price and usury, issues that they had not previously addressed. Clergy were, for the most part, the teachers in the schools.